This is Morning Edition. Good morning. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. The center of the superstorm, as we're calling it, known as Sandy, is in the vicinity now of York, Pennsylvania, moving slowly north and west. We're going to check on its progress, if you can call it that, and also on its aftermath. Let's begin with NPR's John Hamilton, who's been with us throughout the morning. John, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, moving slowly north and west, what does that mean for the Midwest, the states in its path?
Well, it means that this is such a big storm that it's already reached parts of the Midwest. You could have places with a lot of rain, and there are places that you might not expect getting rain. Actually, there have been reports of flooding down in Maryland, which is not exactly in the eye of the storm. So a lot more rain and dropping temperatures is what's going to happen in those states.
And we're going to hear from Maryland in a moment. NPR's Larry Abramson is standing by. But when you talked about the Midwest, we were talking a little earlier with the National Weather Service forecaster who spoke of high wind warnings already in the Great Lakes areas, and we've heard about snow in West Virginia. This is a pretty vast event.
Yeah, I'm looking at actually what's called a wind map of the country right now, and it shows the circulation, this counterclockwise circulation. And right now, when you look at the direction the wind is going, it looks like it's making a big circle around the Great Lakes, which would explain exactly why you're getting those high wind warnings.
And that circle is getting bigger and bigger all the time?
Yes, since the storm has come ashore, it keeps expanding. So, yes, it is huge now, the eastern third of the country.
John, thank you. And let's move back now to the East Coast. Since Sandy came ashore last night, at least 16 people that we know of have died. Early estimates of damage there are in the billions. NPR's Joel Rose is in Point Pleasant, New Jersey, and he joins us. And Joel, where Sandy first hit last night as a hurricane is approximately where you are. There was a lot of warning that the storm was coming. Did that have any bearing on its actual impact?
Well, you know, some people did. There was a mandatory evacuation order for the barrier islands, kind of a little bit south of where I am, down to Atlantic City and the southern half of the state, which, you know, was not universally observed. Up here in the northern and central part of New Jersey, a lot of people did try to ride out the storm at home. They're just coming out of their houses now and getting a first look around at the damage in daylight. And, you know, it's pretty impressive. There's a lot of downed trees, a lot of power lines are down. 2 million houses and businesses in New Jersey alone without power this morning. I've had a chance to look around and seen that the floodwaters are still fairly high. It's pretty difficult getting around the Jersey shore right now. You know, the main roads, many are flooded in places. We've tried to get down to see how the barrier islands fared, and we just can't. The water's too high to get through at this point at high tide. Probably the most haunting image that I've seen so far this morning was in the pre-dawn hour, we drove around a marina where a lot of boats had spent the storm up on blocks out of the water and had actually been, many of them had been tossed right off of those blocks by the rising water. And you see these giant power boats and yachts just poised on their sides in the middle of the road. It's just really a haunting image.
Two quick things to follow up on. John Hamilton is listening in. John, when he talks about flooding continuing, can people expect that for quite some time, even though the center of the storm has passed?
The water does seem to be receding. I think the concern is that right about now we're going into the peak of a high tide. So I think once that high tide is over in a couple of hours, people really can relax about the flooding, but still watching now.
So in a matter of hours, you could begin to see some improvement there. The other thing, Joel Rose, is this. You mentioned that not everybody heeded the evacuation orders that were given. I understand that the public urging for people to evacuate has led to a political battle in southern New Jersey.
Yeah, well, Governor Chris Christie was very outspoken about asking everybody on the barrier islands to get out of town and move to higher ground, and was very upset at the mayor of Atlantic City, who apparently gave contradictory instructions to some of the residents of that city to stay put and to shelter in place or in city shelters. And, you know, rising waters covered, I think, the vast majority of Atlantic City, and that, you know, caused the city to have to close some of its shelters and for people to have to move in the midst of the storm in a very dangerous situation. So, you know, a lot of, as you say, bitter words flying this morning from Governor Christie. I don't think we've heard from the Atlantic City side of that story just yet, but, Yeah, I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot more of that.
Well,
as
we actually have for just a little
the
bit.
The mayor has in some of the media, he basically said, listen, you know, it's not as you say.
I never told people to stay home. But be that as it may, a little bit of a political spat. But let's move down from New Jersey, down the coast to Ocean City, Maryland, where our NPR's Larry Abramson is. And Larry, what are you seeing this morning now that light has begun to appear, I guess, you know, through the clouds?
Actually, things are quite calm right now, Renee. We still have some light winds, but, you know, just 12 hours ago, the wind was blowing so hard that it was going through the closed window. It was just pouring into our through the window into our hotel room, which is still pretty damp.
It was going right
through the little rubber seal that's supposed to keep the water out, but the wind was, you know, so strong that it just pushed it right through. But it's just the opposite right now, and my producer Sam Sanders and I were driving around Ocean City trying to take a look, and things are actually in pretty good shape. There is a lot of localized flooding here, but really nothing massive, such as we're hearing from Joel Rose up in New Jersey. There are more reports of flooding going on all along the Chesapeake Bay, and that will probably continue throughout today as tides and wind continue to blow this water into places that it doesn't belong. But I think that most of the reports we're hearing from Maryland is that the damage is more moderate. I think the biggest problem right now is there are about 300,000 people in Maryland without power, and it's really gotten very cold here. The temperature is in the upper 30s, lower 40s, and still a stiff breeze, so folks without any heat are going to be pretty uncomfortable for quite a while.
And I'm glad you mentioned the Chesapeake Bay, Larry Abramson. If people can picture this state in their minds, this is a state that lives in and among the water. I mean, it's practically a seafaring state.
Right.
It's practically at sea. I mean, and you have a situation where the flooding can be severe, and I suppose also, I mean, it's going to take a while to dry out in these cold conditions.
That's right. You know, as you know, a lot of the towns along the Chesapeake live on the water, and they basically get flooding even when there's just a normal high tide. So they're going to have some substantial amounts of standing water that will take probably days to drain. And we are hearing that the flooding is taking a little bit longer up in the northern reaches of the Chesapeake Bay. Most of the state is pretty much closed down. The same thing, I think, is true of Delaware right now. In fact, there's a driving ban in Delaware for the time being, trying to allow emergency workers to get out and clear drains. And, you know, small things like that make a really big difference if you're trying to get the water out of your neighborhood, is just having decent drainage.
Let's bring in John Hamilton here for a moment. You know, this storm, bad as it's been, had been up for some hours on the warm side. And you've just heard Larry Abrams say it's gotten cold, which it can be a real problem now.
It is. I mean, what you've had is this storm is like an expressway for cold air coming down from Canada. It's drawing it down into these southern states very quickly. And so as opposed to a hurricane where you may have water damage and warm temperatures, now you've got hurricane-like damage followed by winter storm-like temperatures. And if you don't have power, which means a lot of people don't have heat, that's a real problem.
And let's go out with one more image, because if you head west into Maryland, of course, you get into the mountains, you touch West Virginia. And as we've been hearing this morning, there has been substantial snow in West Virginia this morning, at least a foot on the ground in Beckley, West Virginia, and a National Weather Service forecaster is telling us that's in the valleys. In some of the higher elevations, you can see as many as 2 feet, and more snow may be on the way, being pulled down by Sandy as it continues to spin and continues to move north and west. And we'll continue following it right here on Morning Edition from NPR News.